Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, May 7th. I'm Ray Graff. Say, are you looking to bake up something delicious for Mother's Day this weekend? Well, you are in luck because today we are baking with Gail Sokol. That's right. She's going to make some muffins live on this radio show. This is state-of-the-art, cutting-edge, horizon-expanding public radio. God, I'm nervous. I don't know if she can do it. We'll try, though. And if you have a question or you'd like to either encourage or console Gail on the live muffin baking, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. If you got a question about baking for Gail Sokol, 800-348-2551 is the number. Oh, the excitement begins after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today on Food Friday, we welcome back Chef Gail Sokol. She is here with her recipes and advice for baking at home. Chef Gail Sokol has been teaching children and adults about baking for over 20 years, beginning as an instructor at SUNY Schenectady in the culinary department, later at the Sage Colleges in the nutrition department. She is the author of a professional textbook entitled About Professional Baking and a cookbook entitled Baking with Success. Chef Gail has her own podcast, Baking Radio, which we'll talk about in a minute. In fact, she is, she does these YouTube baking videos, and we thought she would make some muffins for us on the show today. You can find the link to her instructional YouTube video for those muffins right now at wamc.org/voxpop. Look for today's show. If you have a question for Chef Gail Sokol, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Chef Gail Sokol, how are you?
Good. How are you? I'm so excited.
This is really exciting for me, and it's very exciting because, you know, the last time you tried to cook something here in Studio A, we both know what happened. This is its on you. What?
You cannot let that go. It was just a small blowtorch, Ray. Well, okay. It wasn't a big thing.
I know, and this is great because the blowtorch is at your own kitchen.
Yes, that's right.
You may not even need it for the muffins, although you just might like using that. I don't know.
It's a lot of fun to use, but we will not use it today.
Fair enough. Well, Gail Sokol, we do have one email, and then we'll start talking about some stuff that you have going on, and we'll get down to baking. This email came in a while ago from Barbara, and this is right in your wheelhouse. Is there a downside to using instant rise yeast? It's so convenient. And that's from Barbara.
No, it's wonderful, Barbara. Keep using instant yeast because it has a lot more power in each yeast granule. They're smaller, so it's a finer powdery yeast than a regular active dry that you will find in the store.
Yeah.
So what I recommend is mix it right in with your dry ingredients. You don't have to proof anything. It's fabulous.
Okay, so you use that regularly.
I use it all the time. I don't even buy active dry yeast anymore.
Not being a yeast expert, I'll just ask the basic here. The active yeast, so the instant yeast is not active?
The instant yeast is fast rising. So sometimes you'll see that in the stores, instead of saying instant active, it'll say fast rising. So each yeast granule can actually produce more carbon dioxide than active dry. So it's a little more powerful. So you don't really need as much of it. You can use about 2/3 of it from the recipe. Sometimes I use 2/3. If you really want to get a go on your recipe and make it fast, like a fast pizza dough,
yeah,
just use the same amount of instant as you do active dry.
Oh, amazing. Chef Gail Sokol joins us today. We talk baking on this Food Friday, and the number is 800-348-2551. Before we get down to baking some muffins, how's the podcast, Baking Radio, going?
Doing great. I have season 2 is out and has been out for a while. And then COVID sort of hit us. So I did that in the fall.
Yeah.
And working on season 3 right now. Hoping to get some sort of oven side chats, as I like to call them, with different people. So we'll sort of mimic what you do a little bit.
Oh,
Well,
I'm sure you'll, do it much better. And you,
I don't know.
You have YouTube videos as well, and the the video for what we are doing today is linked from our site. What are we doing today?
We are doing my grandmother Etta's award-winning blueberry muffins. They are amazing, and they're so easy. You can get them on your mother's breakfast table for Mother's Day in about 20 minutes. So simple.
Well, that'll be tricky for my mother, as she's been dead for about 10 years. But we'll give give it a shot all the same.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, these blueberry muffins, my grandma and I used to pick wild blueberries. She had a sort of a summer cottage in the Adirondacks, and we used to go and pick wild blueberries.
Yeah.
And then we would come home and make these muffins. And one day I decided when I was a teenager, I was going to enter them in the county fair. And they won first place. And I kept entering them year after year. And they kept winning first place. They're so simple.
How many first place blue ribbons did you get?
I got a ton of first place. And a lot of these older women that had been doing it for years were looking at me like, look at this young whippersnapper taking my ribbon away from me. Right. The nerve.
Well, let's tell you what. We have a few minutes before the first break. So why don't we run down the ingredients and then we'll take a break and then we'll get cooking.
Absolutely. So this recipe, you want to preheat your oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit, and it only uses two bowls. Matter of fact, it can be called the two-bowl method or the muffin method of mixing. And it uses 2 cups of flour, all-purpose flour, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 4 tablespoons of granulated sugar, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. You put all that in one bowl. That's your dry ingredients. Your wet ingredients in another bowl. 1 large egg, 1 cup of milk, 1/4 cup of canola oil. That's it. Those are your wet ingredients. And then, of course, you need the stars of the show, 2 cups of blueberries.
Mm. Do you use frozen or fresh?
You know what? You can use anything you want. I've used both. When I do use frozen, I do not thaw them. You want to make sure that they don't get wet and soggy, make your batter soggy. So now there's so many fresh blueberries out there. See if you can use fresh.
Mm.
And the tip is, after you wash them, you want to dry them thoroughly and combine just the blueberries with about 1 teaspoon of flour and sort of coat them so that the flour sticks to the batter and they don't all sink to the bottom.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Now, before we get to this break, any other prep that we will need to do?
You're going to spray 2 or 1 12-cup muffin tin with nonstick cooking spray. And if you don't want to use the nonstick, you can actually line them with the paper liners. That's all you got to do. And make sure you preheat your oven to 400 degrees.
And for my edification, and you know, Gail, that I'm not all that swift in the kitchen. What function does the baking powder perform?
So the baking powder is your chemical leavener, and that's going to react with your wet ingredients like your egg and your milk, and it's going to form a little bit of carbon dioxide bubbles in the bowl while you're mixing, and then it's going to react again with the heat of the oven. That's why they call baking powder double acting, because it reacts 2 times. To create this puff, this lovely rising of your muffins.
Gail Sokol is our guest today. We're baking muffins on this Food Friday. And if you have a question about any sort of baking issue at all, give us a call, 800-348-2551. She's got a headset on while she's baking. She can take your calls, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday with Ray Graff. 800-348-2551 is the number if you have a question for Chef Gail Sokol. We're baking today on Food Friday, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. We are baking muffins, and you can find a link to a YouTube video that Gail did for these very same muffins right now at our website, wamc.org/voxpop, and you'll see today's show, and there'll be a link right there. All right, what next?
All right. So in my bowl, I am whisking together my flour, baking powder, sugar, and salt, because you want to get that chemical leavener, that baking powder and salt, evenly blended and distributed.
Yeah.
The next thing I'm doing in a small bowl, I've got my wet ingredients, my egg, my milk, and my oil. And now I'm going to add the wet ingredients into the dry ingredients.
Okay.
There they go.
All right.
They're in. And then you're not going to whisk those. You're going to actually take a rubber spatula and sort of incorporate the dry and the wet all together, and you're going to form a batter. All right, so I'm doing that right now. I have already washed and dried my blueberries, and you just want to toss them with about a teaspoon of all-purpose flour, and that's going to keep them from settling on the bottom.
Oh, brilliant.
All right, because it really, really works that the flour will sort of suck onto the batter next to it, and you'll end up with these beautiful blue popping blueberries as they come out of the oven.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a great idea, and I never even thought that the flour would do that, but it makes perfect sense. But let me ask you, let me go back one step here. You have your rubber spatula, and you're making the batter. Is there a danger in overmixing this?
Yes. Because this is known as a quick bread, you want it to be very, very quick. These are very similar to a biscuit or a pancake or anything that's known as a quick bread. You don't want to overmix because you can develop too much gluten. And gluten is that protein in the wheat flour, in the all-purpose flour, and that can create a tough muffin. And nobody wants to be hit in the head with a tough muffin.
That's true, although it has happened to me from time to time.
It has happened to me as well. And the next thing you're going to do, once you get that batter, you're just going to mix until blended. And a lot of recipes will say that. Do not overmix. They'll actually say that in the recipe. And now I'm going to fold in my blueberries. So you're going to pour the blueberries right in with that little bit of flour, and you'll see they won't sink to the bottom. And you do this with frozen blueberries as well. You'll just coat them with about a teaspoon of flour. And that's your entire batter, Ray.
Wow.
It is done.
That does sound very, very easy.
It is so easy.
Do you want to take a call before we pop them in the oven, or you want to go?
Absolutely. No, go ahead. Whatever you want to do.
Well, you mentioned gluten, and I'm fascinated by the fact that if you overmix, you make more gluten. This, to me, sounds like alchemy. But let's go to Charlie, who has another question about gluten and gluten-free. Charlie and Hadley, you're on.
Hello there. How are you?
Good.
My question is about gluten-free all-purpose flour, and how would you make a nice, fluffy, muffin out of those? Because sometimes I've used that before, and it's just blah.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. What you could try is try to substitute a gluten-free flour. You know, the blends like they have on the market, you know, there are specific types that are known as just gluten-free that you can substitute for all-purpose flour. There's also coconut flour and almond flour, but you have to be careful because they don't have anything in them that'll help the muffin rise. So you may want
to... Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yes, you want to increase your baking powder a little bit. You want to make sure that... that your all-purpose flour, that the free flour is high quality. I know some people, you know, want to try different types. Try a substitute, a one-to-one substitution, 2 cups all-purpose to 2 cups of gluten-free, and see how it comes out, and then adjust after that.
Okay. All right, so I'll have to eat them myself for a while before I give them to the gluten-free person.
Well, you know,
try them out. And you know what? Baking is very... experimental. Even I go through that as well, Charlie. So,
all right, Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. All right, now, I don't know how long these take to bake, but if you have to get them in the pan and get them in the oven, you go right ahead, and we'll wait a minute before the next call.
All right, so I take an ice cream scoop that I've sprayed with nonstick cooking spray, and I actually scoop them up so I don't damage the blueberries, and I fill the muffin pans probably about 4/5 full. So you really want to fill them quite a bit. And I don't like to use liners because I think they rise better without the liner.
Interesting. Now, is that just sort of your Is there science behind that, or are you just based on your experience, you think that?
It's both. It's both. Because if you use the liner, they tend to grow as high as the liner. They don't always grow too high. But if you don't use a liner, there's no sort of wall for them to stop at, and the batter will keep on going. There's a little bit of everything to that. It depends on the muffin as well. But I know these will rise super high if you do not use a liner.
Interesting. Now, what kind of pan? Are we using the silver ones or the dark ones?
Use whatever you want. Now, the darker pans will actually brown better. I like, and my grandmother and I are very much alike, we used to like things nice and brown, dark brown.
Yeah.
But these muffins, you can tell when they're done. They only take 20 minutes to bake. That's it.
Okay.
So you want to take a small knife. You want to stick it in the center of a muffin if it comes out clean, and they look nice and brown, and the blueberries are bubbling through the surface. They are done.
That sounds really, really good. Okay. Are they in the pan and ready to go?
They're almost. I have two more to go, and
okay.
They're in the pan. These make between 12 and 14 muffins.
Yep.
Sometimes, if you really overfill, you'll get probably about 13 muffins. But if I don't overfill each one, I usually get about 14.
You know, there's nothing better than a hot muffin with melted butter on it.
You better believe it, Ray. There is nothing like it. And I'm telling you, all you have to do is serve muffins to a group of people, family, friends, and nothing says love like muffins. Nothing. And, before you put them in the oven,
yeah,
you're going to take a little granulated sugar and you're going to sprinkle the top of each muffin with a little bit, because that will caramelize the top and make it turn a little more golden brown. Really nice.
Fantastic.
Gives it a nice color.
All right. And you're doing that now? You want to take a call while we're doing that?
Absolutely.
Gail Sokol joins us on Food Friday, 800-348-2551. As we bake things, let's
family.
Go to Sharon in Rosendale. Hello, Sharon. You're on.
Hi. My daughters and I have been baking muffins every week for the past, 2 months or so?
Yeah, 2 months.
Muffin Monday.
Okay, great.
we're trying to bake together. I've got a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old here.
Nice.
Great.
For general advice, so far we like blueberry muffins the best. But the ones we made this week came out, they were strawberry muffins.
Yeah,
sorry.
They were strawberry.
They were strawberry this week. The ones that they came out a little dry, and I'm wondering if it's because I used white whole wheat flour instead of all-purpose flour.
It is a possibility. What you can do is, how much white whole wheat flour did you use? Was it all, the entire amount of flour was whole wheat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was out of all-purpose.
Okay, you may want to go half and half next time, because white whole wheat flour, although it's a lighter whole wheat, it still will suck up the liquid, and the muffins may be a little denser. So you may want to do that.
Okay,
and the wheat will actually cut into the gluten strands a little bit and not allow the as much rise in the muffin. So definitely get half and half, or try half whole wheat and maybe half coconut flour or almond flour for a different texture and flavor.
Oh, okay.
All right,
thanks a lot.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
We're in the truck.
Thank you. Well, enjoy, and thank you for calling in, all of you, and good luck, crew. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Baking Today with Chef Gail Sokol. And where are we now? Are we ready to put the stuff in the oven?
Yeah, it's already in there, Ray. I'm right ahead of you.
And
we have 19 minutes to go, because they've already been in for a minute.
Okay. And if we
hear... I told you they're quick. They're very quick.
If we hear the fire alarm go off, then we know it's a usual Gail Sokol production and everything's fine.
No. My mother used to burn things. I didn't do
no,
that.
No, I don't mean now that. I mean, what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Baked Alaska incident. Terry in Pittsfield. Terry, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm right in the middle of baking chocolate chip cookies, actually, and I've baked them for years, but I recently ran across a recipe that calls for melted butter as opposed to leaving it on the counter to come to room temperature. And I was wondering what your opinion of melted butter was. And also, I remember adding a little bit of milk to chocolate chip cookie dough. Is that something you can still do? I mean, have you ever? I'm sure you've heard of it, but I was just wondering.
Yep. You know what? For chocolate chip cookies, there's got to be a gazillion, and I'm actually not exaggerating, a gazillion recipes out there with various variations between milk, butter, softened butter. You know, softened butter is what, when you mix softened butter and granulated sugar, you actually are doing what's known as the creaming method of mixing. So you're creaming, you're adding air, you're forcing air into that fat, and you'll get a little bit more of a structured cookie. When you add your melted butter, do those cookies come out crisper or they come out chewy?
To be honest with you, I just took the first batch out and they look different than my other recipes. They look a little crackly on top.
Do me a favor. What you have to do is take one of those cookies, put it aside, and when you make a variation of another type, put it aside. I've even frozen cookies and then take them out a different type of a recipe. You can compare side by side what you enjoy better.
Okay. All right.
There's no right and wrong. Melted butter will create a dough that may spread a little bit more, but butter tastes delicious.
Right.
In anything, the milk will add a little bit more, you know, liquid to it. So more the liquidier your batter, the more it will spread. So it depends on whether you like them crisp and crunchy or chewy and thicker. You have to decide what you like, and you can vary the ingredients as you like.
Oh, okay. Well, the children are no longer here to tell me, but my husband will, so we'll see what happens.
I'm sure he will. Thanks. Well, keep making cookies.
Okay. Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry. Chef Gail Sokol joins us. All right. Let me ask you this about chocolate chip cookies before we go to the next call. A couple few of my daughters, they're excellent bakers, and they made chocolate chip cookies this past week. And, you know, they were scrumptious. And I looked on the counter, because they never clean up after themselves too well, and there was this stuff. It was like butter-flavored shortening. And is that cheating? Because the cookies were outstanding.
No. Shortening is different than butter. It has a higher melting point. And it's known as a plastic fat in the baking world, so that it, because it has a higher melting point, it'll actually keep your cookies from melting down and getting too thin. So you'll end up with a chewier cookie with that shortening in it. I bet they were nice and thick and chewy.
Oh, they were so good. In fact, I've been eating them all week, and now I need to, do something, maybe mow the lawn. Rich in Albany. Rich, you're on.
Hi, I really love the show. I listen to it every week, and it's just...
Thanks.
And you were talking about blueberry muffins, and one of the best blueberry muffins I've ever had, and it came from a bakery, actually, although I've had some good homemade ones, but it was sort of a combination of corn muffin and blueberry muffin. And everything about it was so moist, and it was just, you know, really flavorful, and I was just wondering, you know, to make something like that, I mean, I imagine you could probably use some cornmeal with the flour, and I don't know if you've ever done anything like that or have any ideas on how to combine those two recipes?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. You could actually take one cup of the flour out, add one cup of cornmeal, and you would have yourself a cornmeal blueberry muffin. And you can even take a standard corn muffin and add blueberries to it. The other thing is you can't use cornmeal by itself because it would make a very dense muffin. Remember, cornmeal has no gluten-forming proteins in it. So you do need a little of some form of flour in it, like all-purpose.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. You know, your blueberry recipe sounds good, and I thought maybe that would be a good one to use and just, you know, substitute. Because this muffin was great. I mean, and actually the bakery's closed, I mean, both after years, but we used to love getting the blueberry muffins, blueberry corn muffins from there.
Right, you could absolutely.
And I just finished subscribing to your YouTube channel, too. I looked it up.
Fabulous.
Like
great.
Like check out anything.
Oh, excellent. Right. Excellent.
Hey, Rich, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Chef Gail Sokol has the muffins in the oven. We got about 15 or so minutes to go until they come out. I won't taste them, but I will trust that she is honest and will tell us if they're good or not. By the way, your answer to Rich's call reminded me of a question I had before the first break, and you had said something that if you overstir the batter, you make more gluten. How does that work?
Because when you have these gluten-forming proteins, the more you mix, the more connections they make, and they actually become interconnected, and they don't get as stretchy in the oven. Because the carbon dioxide bubbles that form from that baking powder and any liquid in the batter, they actually get stuck in those gluten strands, okay? And it's almost like a spider web. And the carbon dioxide in the oven will expand. That, and there's also steam forming. There's a lot of different stuff going on in the oven, really.
Yeah.
So as these muffins puff up, the gluten strands stretch, and they form a structure. The egg sets, because the egg is also protein. There's a lot of coagulation of eggs. There's gelatinization of starches. There's a lot of science going on in that oven. And that's what holds up that muffin. If you have too much gluten formation, you're going to end up with a very strong gluten gluten strands and a gluten network that's actually going to allow holes to form within your dough, because the carbon dioxide won't be able to help the batter rise. It's going to implode inside, creating what's known as tunneling, little holes throughout your muffin.
So interesting. These are things I have never known. Gail Sokol joins us today. We are baking. 800-348-2551. Let's grab one more call, then we'll take a break and go back to the calls. We'll take the muffins out of the oven. Frank in New Jersey. Frank, hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
You bet. You're on.
Yeah. I just wondered if you've ever used club soda or beer in your batter to add some rising activity to it.
I have not used it for that. I've used it for certain type of dumplings like matzo balls. You can do that, but you want to make sure you substitute a liquid that's similar to that. Like you could substitute your milk and put some club soda instead and see how that would work. I would not use beer in the blueberry muffins, though.
I might try it, Frank. I don't know. Give it a shot.
Yeah, really. I guess really, what's the soda in Irish soda bread? What is that?
That is chemical leaveners. You're using baking powder and baking soda. And baking soda is bicarbonate of soda. It needs an acid to react. And if you look at most Irish soda bread recipes, they have buttermilk in them. Something with an acid. That's a cultured product that actually is acidic that will react and form what's known as a neutralization reaction with your baking soda, creating tons of carbon dioxide and helping that loaf to rise.
Great. All right. Thanks for that, Gail.
Hey, you're welcome.
Frank, thanks for the call. And, hey, put a couple of Labatt's Blue in there and see what happens. 800-348-2551 is the
note.
Don't do that, Frank.
Don't do that.
We'll take a quick break. 800-348-2551. I'll tell you, Chef, Gail Sokol is a real pioneer in audio cooking. I mean, a couple of years ago, she almost burned the whole station down with a blowtorch.
Oh,
she's got her own podcast, Baking Radio. Today, she's baking muffins on this program. It's cutting edge. 800-348-2551. If you have a question for Chef Gail Sokol, how many minutes to go on the muffins?
Eight more minutes.
This is exciting. Now, does your oven have a window? Can you see them rising?
Oh, I can see them. They're gorgeous. They're high. The blueberries are beginning to bubble there. It's gorgeous. It looks beautiful. I wish you were here to try them.
You and me both. All right, this email from Tara, who says, I'm not a good baker, but seem to be lucky with muffins, and they always come out great. However, when they rise, they are flat on top. How do you get a cone-shaped top to your muffins? That's from Tara.
Okay, it depends on the recipe, Tara. It depends on what you're putting in them and what type of recipe you have. Some muffins will be flatter. If she's making the batter and it's super loose and liquidy, it will tend to be flat. If it's a nice thick batter and it's got a lot of viscosity to it and it's thicker and almost dough-like, it will rise higher. So it depends on the recipe. It depends on what you're making, actually.
Okay. This one from Baked in Hageman. I'm making blueberry muffins along with Gail. Oh, that's great.
Yay.
He says, the recipe calls for 2 cups flour. The only measuring cups I have in the house are half cup and a third. So I actually had to take the time to do 4 halves. Desperate times call for desperate measures. I'll see myself out. And that's from Joe in Hageman. Now, there you go.
So somebody's
baking along with you. This is exciting.
Yeah, this is very exciting.
Our number here is 800-348-2551 if you have a baking question for Chef Gail Sokol. And let's go to Gilderland. Brian, you're on.
Hi. I couldn't write the recipe down fast enough.
Oh.
How much sugar do I need?
All right, so you need 4 tablespoons of granulated sugar.
Wait a minute, 4 tablespoons. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And my other one is I don't know how much milk.
1 cup.
1 cup of milk and 1 egg and
1/4 cup of oil.
Canola oil. That's
yes.
The second bowl. Thank you very much. It sounds good. I can hardly wait to try them.
Good luck, Brian.
Enjoy.
Now, does it have to be canola oil?
No, it could be any oil you want. It could be coconut oil. It could be vegetable oil, soybean oil, anything you want. It's the liquid fat that really makes the difference. So as long as you substitute like ingredients with like ingredients, you're okay.
You know, one of the problems with hosting a live show is oftentimes I'll be struck by a comment that a listener makes or a guest will make, and it'll take me about 12, 13 minutes to process it and bring it back. One of our callers a while back said, I made strawberry muffins. And it occurred to me that all fruit cannot be created equal. It must be slightly different to make muffins with strawberries. In other words, there's a lot of water there, right?
No, you know what? As long as you keep your strawberries, I wouldn't use frozen strawberries for a muffin because they are so hydrated with water, and when they thaw, they would add a lot of water. But if you take whole strawberries and cut them into little dice, like maybe half-inch dice, and then coat them again with the flour, you can make fabulous ones. I actually have a recipe for strawberry lemon muffins on my YouTube.
Oh, cool. And
my YouTube channel.
By the way, how do people find that while we have a minute here?
Well, it's if they look up Chef Gail Sokol or they look up ChefGailSokol.com on my website, everything comes up that you need. Anything from my YouTube channel, my recipes are all listed on there, and even how to get to my podcast.
Very cool. And, of course, the link to the YouTube video for today's muffins that Gail is baking right now, about 5 minutes left, are on our website, wamc.org/voxpop. Hit the Food Friday page for today, and there's a link to Gail's YouTube. Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Bethany in Albany. Bethany.
Hi. I've got 2 quick questions concerning cake. One is, whenever I use actual cake flour and follow the direction completely, I feel like the cake is always a bit drier than if it was just regular all-purpose flour. And 2, what is your boxed cake mix hack?
I usually don't use boxed cake mixes. I just don't, because I just like the taste of homemade from scratch cakes. But I really think that the best cake flour should not make a difference. I'm wondering if you're maybe packing it, and I don't mean to insult you because I'm not, but some people pack cake flour very light. It tends to have starches in it, more starch than protein. That's why it has less gluten-forming proteins in it. It is more for cake, more tender products. But if you're packing it, you will get a drier cake. So see if you can scoop the flour into the solid measuring cup and then level it off very easily with a butter knife or a straight edge knife, and you will have a perfect 1 cup measure right there. Maybe you're adding too much flour. I'm just guessing. I don't know. It's a suggestion.
I might be. Thank you.
Thanks, Bethany. 800-348-2551 is our number. If you have a question for Gail Sokol, we are baking today on Food Friday. 800-348-2551. That's the wrong line, Ray, here. Not too competent. There's the right one. Peg in Broad Alban. Peg, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi.
Just a quick question. Will this recipe for the muffins work for the same sort of thing as a blueberry buckle?
I love blueberry buckle.
So what are you asking? What are you trying to, yes, you could make a blueberry buckle from this. Just would pour it into a 9 by 9 inch pan, like a square pan.
Right.
You could do it.
That's my favorite because it can be served like cake.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, do it, girl, and get some vanilla ice cream or whipped cream. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Where do you live? I'm coming.
Broad Alban. Well, you have to leave now, Chef Sokol.
It's homemade whipped cream.
Oh,
yum. Oh, I'm there.
Well done, Peg. All right.
Enjoy.
Have fun. Thank you for the call.
Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. If you have a question about baking anything at all, muffins or otherwise, Chef Gail Sokol joins us today. How are we doing on the muffins?
32 seconds, and they're bubbling like I don't know what, but they are. Oh, they're gorgeous.
Oh, this is
Ray.
Exciting. This is great.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Now, all right. Well, while you while we're vamping until you're taking them out of the oven, how long? And this is a bone of contention with my young bakers in the house. They will oftentimes will hand out the cookies or the whatever they're making or the cake. Or they'll try to frost a cake too early. Or how long do you let them cool?
Okay, so it depends on what you're making. If you are making a cake, you want it to be barely warm and then take it out of the pan when it's just barely warm. You want to be able to handle the pan and it's like lukewarm.
Yeah.
Don't wait until it's cold or super cool because it will be hard. There's a little steam that makes condensation on the bottom and it will stick to the pan. I always find that.
Oh.
As far as muffins are concerned, you do want to wait a little bit or they will stick to the pan, even in spite of the fact of that nonstick cooking spray. You want to make sure that you let them get so that you don't burn your hands. And cut around the edges of the muffin with a sharp knife to make sure that they come out.
Okay, very good. And I guess you have taken the muffins out now?
I am watching them from the oven and admiring them. I haven't taken them out yet.
Do you think that they have to go a little bit longer? I mean, do you find that sometimes?
Yes, I do. And it depends on everyone's oven. So I have a sharp knife as I speak, and I'm actually inserting the knife right now into the middle of one of the muffins, and it's coming out clean. We're done, Ray.
All right.
I'm taking them out.
What about all the other ones, though? Don't you have to test them all?
No, one of them usually is a good way to determine. If all of them look nice and brown and just beautifully striped with that beautiful blueberry, they're ready to come out.
Okay, fair enough. That's an interesting thing to know. And that now they are done, and we're going to let them cool, but they'll have to cool until the show is over, right?
If I let them, yes.
What do you mean if you
should? Put it that way, they should. I usually let them cool because I really like them to come out really well. Now, blueberries are a little different because sometimes you get, like I have a little blueberry spread around the outside. So I want to spray with non-stick cooking spray, the outside of the pan as well, because sometimes blueberries form this beautiful, the blueberries sort of explode.
Yeah.
In the batter and on top, because that's what we love about them. But you want to, as it's hot, take that small sharp knife and go around.
We're losing you a little bit. Oh, there we go. We got you again.
You got me?
Yeah.
All right. So you want to, as they come out of the oven, I'm going to take my knife and I'm just going to cut around because that melted blueberry because it's all sugar. That's what fruit is. It's fructose. You want to make sure you cut around the blueberry muffin so it doesn't stick when you do free it from the muffin tin.
I got to tell you, I am so hungry right now just listening to you describe this. And you have 13 muffins now at your house, right?
You bet I do.
What are you going to do with them?
Well, I could bring some to you.
No, you don't have to.
You can also, you can freeze them. They freeze beautifully, and you can actually get them so that they taste like they are just baked. So if you want to make them today and you want to give them to your mom or grandma or whoever on Sunday morning for breakfast in bed, definitely make them today. Freeze them either in an airtight container separated with layers of wax paper, and then freeze them. And then Sunday morning, take them out, put them in the oven on a sheet pan that's been lined with aluminum foil or parchment paper, and just pop them in a 350-degree oven for 5 or 10 minutes. And, oh, will you be loved.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that answers a question I had earlier in the show that I also forgot, and that is, how do you warm them up? So putting them in the microwave on Sunday morning is not the best plan.
You can do it. Oh, no. It is not beneath me to do that. You can definitely do that. What you would do is put them on a plate. I usually pop them in and thaw them. Don't put them on the thaw cycle of your microwave. Sometimes I find it's a little too powerful.
Yeah.
So just pop it in maybe, 12 seconds, 15 seconds, and feel them and see if they give to your touch. And if you like them nice and warm, some people like them warmer than others.
Yeah.
See what you like, and you could probably get like 6 muffins in a microwave and do them all at once.
I mean, the butter has to melt a little bit. I mean, ultimately, these things are butter delivery systems, right?
Oh, yeah.
Joins us today. This email from Ryan in Berkshire County. Box cake hack. Add vanilla extract. Quality, pure vanilla extract will surely add a little something to that box cake. True or not true, Gail?
You know what? Any type of flavor you can add to something that's manufactured, in quantity, like a box mix, will add something to it. A lot of people have hacks with box cake mixes.
Yeah.
So if you use pure vanilla extract, don't use the fake stuff because it tastes like cough syrup. So try to use pure vanilla extract if you're going to do that hack. That would work fine. Any type of extract or even a zest in a yellow cake would add a little something, je ne sais quoi to it.
Uh-huh.
That would be nice as well.
But I like cough syrup, Gail. The thing is, though, okay, you brought up the pure vanilla extract. Now, I don't bake. I can barely boil water. But I do have bakers in my house, and I'm the buyer. I go to the store. Vanilla extract is expensive stuff. I've seen like a half and half, half real, half simulated. What is the simulated stuff?
The simulated stuff has more alcohol in it, and it has flavorings that really taste off. And if you try it and actually try it against vanilla, even the smell of it is different.
Yeah.
And I find the quality of my cakes, pies, muffins, whatever they are, will taste very different with pure vanilla extract.
Okay.
So I am reading. Let me read you the ingredient list on my pure vanilla extract. It's the first ingredient should be vanilla bean extract or vanilla bean, which they will extract in water and some alcohol, but you don't want too much alcohol. But it should always say vanilla bean as the first ingredient.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, now I have properly been castigated, and I will get only the real stuff henceforth. Annie in Niskayuna, you're on.
You said Annie in Niskayuna?
That's the one. It's you.
Okay, that's me. Sorry.
It's okay.
I hope you haven't answered the question. I missed about 10 minutes of the show. I'm enjoying it very much.
Well,
I like to bake. Can you tell me, Gail, if those products that you can get to wrap around a cake tin to keep a cake level really work? And if I just cut up a towel and wet a towel and somehow wrapped it around the tin, would it have the same effect so I don't have to cut to get a flat surface?
Okay, I have used those. These are like pieces of heat-proof material that you put around the cake that's supposed to keep the cake level. I don't even use mine anymore, Annie. It is gone. It's
mm-hmm.
on the shelf down in my basement. And what
mm-hmm.
you do is you want to make sure you don't overfill your cake pan. You want to make sure
right.
your pan is floured greased and floured, and then you put a parchment cake circle if you're making a round cake layer, and don't overfill it. It shouldn't be any more than half full.
Okay?
And you should not get any camel humps. You should not.
Okay.
And I have not gotten a camel hump since I've retired those. I don't use them anymore. Okay?
And you should
not need it.
And what makes a cookie sheet, like if I put my cake, if I'm making 2 8-inch layer cakes, I put them on a cookie sheet, what makes the cookie sheet kind of snap or sounds like it's warping when it's baking? And then I feel like that contributes to an unlevel cake.
It probably does. So the only time I would put something on a sheet pan to bake is a false bottom tart pan or something that you think could leak over the edges. So if you don't overfill your cake pans, there's no need for that sheet pan at all. Leave the sheet pan out of the oven, and your cakes will be much more level. And make sure your racks are level, and make sure that there's room for the cakes to grow. So your upper rack is moved up a little bit. I think the snapping is the metal that is, the heat is causing that to go from cold to hot, and it snaps a little bit, and it moves. So don't use a sheet pan. I think that's your problem.
Chef Gail Sokol, we have about 15 seconds left. If you dare, you can try a bite. If not, we'll take your word for it. They sound fantastic. Are you going to do it?
I got one out.
Oh, my gosh. Here
we
go.
I got one out. Okay, hold on.
All right, here we go.
Hold on a minute.
All right, the theme is going to hit, but you have time.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, that sounds good.
Blueberry just exploded in my mouth.
Gail Sokol, fantastic work. Nobody got hurt. I call that a win-win. we will talk to you soon. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Good luck. Enjoy all those 13 muffins. Support comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Riverfront Park. Masks and social distancing required. TroyMarket.org. Warren Kitchen and Cutlery, a Rhinebeck Kitchenware Emporium for over 20 years. Cutlery, cookware, bakeware, kitchen tools for those who like to cook and entertain. Warren Kitchen and Cutlery.com. And Honest Weight Food Co-op, offering organic seeds, soil, locally grown starter plants, flowers, and more. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. More online at honestweight.coop. Well, that's it for today. This was fun. Chef Gail Sokol, a splendid job as always. Thank you for calling. And thank you for emailing us. Great questions today. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who endured another week of my program. And he does it really, really pleasantly. Barb King took the calls. Our producers, Jackie Orchard, I'm Ray Graff. Have a splendid and safe weekend. And we will see you Monday at 2:00.